resistant action. We appreciate you being here tonight. I'm Senator Kate Brown. I represent Portland and Milwaukee. And I'm going to ask the rest of my committee members to introduce themselves. But I wanted to make a few introductory comments about why we're here and what we're going to be doing tonight. The goal of the legislative leadership discussion in the Senate is to make the legislative process much more accessible. So we're taking our committees literally on the road. We've had committees go to Newport, to the river, to Portland, and it's not like it's very far to sail. We're here obviously out of action, and we've had folks that went to stay last week, all to hear from Oregon about different issues and their perspective. We hope it makes the legislative process seem more accessible and hopefully more relevant. We have a number of things tonight. I want to thank first John Moore for making this historic action in our way that I hope the Senate will submit in the cause.
And Anyway, that's my district. I usually appreciate the fact that Senator Brown managed to get an airplane and fly a couple of us down, because I chair the general government committee, and we got a hearing at 3 o'clock in Salem. And normally I have to adjourn until 5, but we can come on the plane.
Do you see that we will learn
that we, never look back, look at the outcomes of whatever we decide and so forth, and we just don't need that as well. I also tell people that perhaps I'm the one who looks at balancing because I'm a middle child, and they spewed filth into the air. But I want to tell you, there were very few in that community who really cared because those were good paying jobs. And so I understand where you're coming from. And in fact, there's a steel mill that is now unfortunately gone away from the past as lump timber has an origin in a devastating community. So it is important when we're considering these issues that we do take we look at all of these things. And there are going to be impacts, but we still have to balance it, and we don't have an economy, you're not really going to have communities and people living there. I will be honest with you and say that I do come with an underlying philosophy, and that philosophy is that I feel very strongly that we are stewards of this earth and its people. But beginning from that viewpoint, that I do think it's important, and I do think it on all issues, that I can gather the facts and know the impacts, the outcomes, and so forth. And that would be my modus operandi. Thank you.
the renewable issue, but in any case, I have done a lot of reading and, you know, about this issue, and you know there's a huge controversy about what trees can be cut down, what trees can be moved, and it's come from opposing points of view, and you can find very learned people on both sides, and I don't have it, so I would be very happy with you. Mainly, I think my view is, and again, I'm open to more information, but I do have a problem with the old growth issue, cutting down old growth trees, because I think there are other trees that we can cut down and sustain on the old growth. But again, I'm open to learning.
And so I noticed for the one of those issues.
And that was my whole approach, and you listen to people, you catch your door up, and I go out into the communities and then talk with people.
Maybe maximum load or whatever, but
Senator Atkinson? Senator Ringo?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferrioli?
Aye.
Chair Brown?
Chair votes aye. Motion passed. Senator Atkinson, good to hear.
From information and knowledge and optimal health, and I am
Kingsbury credit prevention increased 11% among adult women.
Thank you.
also help the local veteran shelter and provide an array of advocacy services with the courts and sheriff's department and the welfare office. And we do a rural outreach program in Sioux Falls and Prospect and Cove. And we also operate the sexual assault victim services program, which we'll hear about a little bit later. Today, though, I'm representing a statewide alliance. It's called the Armed Alliance of Men and Violence Against Women. And four sessions ago, we looked around the state and realized that there wasn't an effective group advocating the legislature to protect survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence. So it's a group of advocates who come together, work throughout the interim, and then work through the session. We work very closely with the governor's task force, domestic violence, attorney general's task force, on sexual assault, and the Governor Coalition against domestic violence and sexual assault. We don't take credit for all the things I'm going to mention, but we certainly work hard on them. One was criminalizing date rape drugs about two sessions ago. With the support of Senator Brown, the first general fund money for domestic violence and sexual assault services in the District of Oregon. Last session, we criminalized strangulation, which hadn't been a separate criminal offense. This year, we're working on the advocate privilege bill, a confidentiality bill, and some technicalities for the unemployment insurance bill that is working closely against domestic violence. Domestic violence and sexual assault are really a scourge in our communities, and we advocate a real broad, comprehensive strategy to deal with the issue. There's no magic bullet. We believe that we need education, we need prevention, we need to increase our support services. Our domestic violence shelters around the state have waiting lists. They're all women can only be there for about 4 to 6 weeks, and then we don't have room to get in anymore, and there's not enough transitional services. Many women are economically tied to their other and have to go back and then get beaten again and return and get beaten again, and occasionally this can occur up to 7 or 8 times. And we really need to deal with that part of it. But we're also very, very supportive of this bill because it deals with another part of the comprehensive strategy, which is providing and strengthening the criminal justice system. And this bill will do that. Domestic violence and sexual assault services community in the state is basically funded through philanthropy, and then a whole hodgepodge of federal, mostly federal and some state fees and assessments. We've heard of the violence against crime act funding, there's a criminal fine assessment account, which is a lot more various assessments, fees take a little bit of it. We have some local government money here and there. But that entire amount that comes through the state is $7 million for all sexual assault and domestic violence services to survivors. To give you some context, our program here in Jackson County, just in our agency alone, is about $1 million. So the state support of those services is criminally lacking in my belief. But I understand that you're not transgressing, and when we're in those times, we need to concentrate on other strategies in that continuum, and this still does that. So on behalf of the Armed Alliance and Men and Violence Against Women, we're very supportive of this plan.
My name is Mara Owens, and I'm a student at SLU, and I'm an officer in the in the situation that I was in, it did not feel
pregnancy is finally ended by an act of violence. Men who perpetrate acts of violence against women, especially during the pregnancy, must be given the unmistakable mark that their behavior is totally unacceptable. As a pastor, I can recall several instances where I've had to try to protect a female victim who had turned her husband in to the police after he went, only to have the husband released after he was arraigned. So he went from being angry over whatever situation brought about the beating to being absolutely ballistic because he had been sent to the police. And he was now more determined than ever to inflict harm on his wife. We had to find places to hide him. SB 712 would give law enforcement one more tool to strengthen their hand by increasing the penalties against harming a woman during pregnancy. It is also important to keep the focus of this law on the victim, the woman. We should not pass any law that would make it difficult or restrict a woman's right to choose a safe legal abortion. The Pregnant Women's Reproduction Act emphasizes the harm done to the woman rather than establishing separate personhood for the fetus that she is carrying. To include that in this argument would create a very serious distraction to what this law's real intent and purpose is. And I think this law needs to be passed as it is stated. So I urge you to support this law as it is. Thank you.
Carefully, and I consider changes offered in this bill would fit well with the board's penal statute. Not only would Senate Bill 712 appropriately punish the class of offenders who received unduly lenient treatment under current law, but Senate Bill 712 would also help deter violent crimes against their community. Empirical evidence shows that women's pregnancy is a factor that may increase the likelihood of assault or even murder by that woman's age. The most prominent example of this phenomenon is the murder of Lacey Peterson by her husband Scott Peterson after she had become pregnant. Some, but not all, of the offenders who commit such crimes are cognizant of the possible sentences they might receive, and these offenders could be deterred by more severe punishment. Senate Bill 712 would give greater protection to potential victims of violent crime during the period in which they are especially vulnerable. Thanks in large part to the work of Senator Jordan Peter Kate Brown, Oregon has often been at the forefront of the nationwide movement to protect women and children from violence. Senator Brown's bill to enhance penalties when children observe domestic violence is but one example of Oregon's leadership in this area. Sadly, however, our laws relating to violent crime and displaying women are regressive in comparison to those other states that share our concerns for safety of women and children. I strongly support the adoption of Senate Bill 712 and the recommended that agencies have current penal statutes. Thank you very much for considering my testimony and please consider the comments I can give the Assistance Committee sincerely, Tom Longer. Thank you.
think it's important that we focus on the intent of the law, and that is to deal with these violence that now has engaged the violence that occurs against the pregnant woman. And I think that's a valid law, and it's as it is written. To draw in on the whole definition of fetus as a person, I think it makes us I appreciate that. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate that. 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 I appreci
You are speaking into a room of about 60 people in the city of Ashland. Could you please explain your role at Morgan Health Sciences University?
Yes. My role is I am the co-director of the Center for Health Disparities Research at Morgan Health Sciences University. I'm also an assistant professor at the School of Nursing.
Thank you. Could you give us your thoughts about that? Thank you.
Ms. Markey?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. You were in a meeting, conference room hallway, about 60 people. Could you please tell us your name for the record and what your profession is and where you're employed? How would that be treated under Oregon law at this time?
Okay, I think if I heard that, I'd go ahead.
This might be Secretary Oliver.
Yes, Senator, I can hear you. Both.
Good. What's the legal definition requirement?
I think if I'm hearing you correctly, it was not my testimony, but
Thank you, Ms. Murphy. Are there any further questions from the panel? Thank you, Ms. Murphy.
Thank you very much for allowing me to hear myself.
Thank you. We appreciate the fact that you had a broken leg and it's difficult for you to drive the distance. At this point in time, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 712. And we're going to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 587. And I'm going to have Ms. Harris, who's the lead administrator, explain the bill. I'm going to take a few minutes to break on the Senate bill and then come back to hear the public hearing's testimony of 712. I would ask that Mr. Ryan Plant and Mr. Bob Cox would be prepared to testify on Senate Bill 712 as his new term.
wishes to go first? We'll start with some of our committee members, so we ask that you keep your personal orders. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Brian Clyde. I'm a citizen of Eagle Point, Oregon. I'm here in opposition to Senate Bill 712. Little Samuel Thomas was in trouble. His parents and Sam's doctor agreed surgery was necessary to correct the spinal condition of Sam had. The condition, known as spinal bifida, could be improved dramatically and was with surgery. However, this somewhat routine medical scenario was anything but routine. You see, Sammy Barnes was only 21 weeks old. That is 21 weeks of gestational age old. He hadn't yet been born. But based on the evidence, Sam's parents and doctor went ahead with the corrective surgery in an amazing prenatal procedure. After the procedure, while the surgeon was closing the uterus, tiny Samuel Armas stuffed his left hand and arm up through the yet-to-be-closed incision in his mother's womb and grasped the finger of the surgeon. Photojournalist Michael Clancy, freelance photographer, was recording the spinal bifida procedure when Sam pushed his arm out. Fortunately for all of us, he captured this incredible moment on film. Visual evidence of what all of us can maybe know. A 21-week-old fetus, a 21-week-old unborn baby, is a human being. The photo was captured in a copy of my testimony. Recorded both the moment in which Sam grasped the surgeon's finger and a photo of 4-year-old Sam with his parents taken in 2003. My purpose in providing you these photos is to visually demonstrate the humanity of the unborn child. Is completely inadequate to satisfy our state's need for protection from the unborn. Merely increasing the penalty of the murder of a pregnant woman ignores the second life in a room. The language used in the bill, the defendant knew or reasonably should have known that the victim was pregnant, creates a good chance that a criminal's potentially include his lack of knowledge of a pregnancy. By hoodwinking us into thinking that it has some substance, it does not. To the contrary, Senate Bill 440 and its companion bill HB 2020 reject the notion that the criminal should reasonably know the woman was pregnant by specifically excluding it as a defense. In addition, the bill defines the truth we all know, that an unborn baby is as human as each of us and deserves legal protection. I urge your support of these two bills. Copies of my testimony will be sent to my legislators, and I thank you for allowing me to speak. As Oregon Statute 131.5.
he should not be allowed a loophole of claiming non-awareness. The influential of humanness is not dependent upon the perfect goodness, excuse me, awareness of his or her existence. The remoteness, for example, shoots and kills another driver in a road rage incident, and one of his bullets inadvertently kills a bystander. The special circumstances cannot be dismissed simply by his declaration of unawareness of the bystander's presence. He still committed two murders. Also, the terminology of Senate Bill 712, revisions of ORS 16309 and extended in 5163.115, known or should have known, is far too vague and argumentative to have any legal merit. In cases wherein a pregnant woman is criminally assaulted and survives, a born-born baby dies as a result of the assault, Senate Bill 712 provides no justice for the unborn baby. A murder has still been committed. Certainly, our legislators must recognize the importance of the life to all victims, especially in the light of cases such as bringing justice to all victims, especially in the light of cases such as racing down abuses that have carried out in her baby. With these facts, I urge the passage of House Bill 2020 and or Senate Bill 440 as opposed to Senate Bill 712. In order to provide justice for all and firmness in the way that God gave us to see it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I have two questions and I guess my questions would be, would either one of you oppose increasing penalties for assaulting pregnant women when the perpetrator knew or should have known that the woman was pregnant?
I have a problem with the terminology of the woman who should have known.
Thank you.
the same penalty under Senate Bill 440 as a intimate partner who killed a woman who was pregnant. It would also subject a stranger to the same penalty, and that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, what?
along with, well, this wasn't a baby yet, it was just a baby. Even if that mother is just pregnant and someone comes to life with their wife, that child, no mother or his baby, they should be marketing as separate beings. So I'm not in favor of 712 in favor of one less, I suppose, one less
still in the board.
And then our last two witnesses are Alexander Manishman and Amy Kerberlein.
In UK 15, one day some mothers brought their babies
to him to touch and bless. But the disciples told him to go away. Jesus replied, "Let the little children come to me. Never send them away. The kingdom of God belongs to men. And their hearts are trusting as these little children. And anyone who doesn't have the kind of faith will never get within the kingdom of faith." I cannot say clearer the conditions Brian and Carrie are having if I would do anything different than what the book was on. I'm not going to say what the book is, but I believe we need to reel those paths to and inherit. This is the emergency.
Loss of both mother and child. So I
the single victim substitute in this tragedy. There would be another injustice and tragedy to deny the very existence of a criminal in the union. I feel this proposal would apply the doctrine that a crime against a trans woman has only a single victim. And I feel that this would create a crime of what one would say an interruption to the normal course of pregnancy. Under this bill, this woman would be charged only with one crime of killing a pregnant woman and not receive double punishment.
Thank you.
for the committee, and ask your name.
Well, for the record, my name is Jane Goldman, I'm a public worker today, and I represent the city. Kathy, I'm from the school, and I'm from Kathy, I'm from the city, and the consideration of the community as well. I covered the former
and I'm sorry that Senator Brown
mean, there are several pieces of legislation. I appreciate that there's a public debate. I hope you're listening carefully to the public debate, because that's the end of our process being a wider variety of ideas, perspectives. And they're concerned that we draft good laws, prosecuting laws, fair laws, laws that do address, in fact, pretty minor laws, not just for the mother, for the child, of any expected family. And I would certainly advocate, understand that there are many hot button political issues here, and acknowledging the homicide of a number one child, and starting to move my example. Who was born in a pound and a half, so having a pre-born child, I'm pretty up close to personally, so it's like a king of the world trying to invade. But the concern is loss. And my concern is that the law truly, once it becomes enacted, is comprehensive. And if you want to prove the law truly with appropriate penalties, then I think that's my love.
Steve Whitcraft from Ranch Craft.
an article about Senate Bill 712. Here at my home, there's the action of Terry's unborn child and the pendulum on her neck. It's for the same reason she wears a pendant that this bill, Senate Bill 712, was brought. Your only 16 minutes of sentence for murdering a pregnant woman is not recognizing the just suspected wife of the loss.
Thank you.
Any discussion?
Point of order, Madam Chairman?
Yes.
For the, just ask the motion of the motion. I understand the motion.
Yes, but I'm going to work session.
Madam, point of order.
Point of order, Madam Chairman.
My understanding is the motion is still the draft of the bill.
That is correct.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
And your support, committee on the aid for purposes of having the bill drafted has nothing to do, does not impact, does not support your requiring support of the manager at this time. Sorry, Madam Chairman.
So the bill in draft form has come back to the meeting.
It will, Mr. Senator, it will affect all the rules now, all bills now, before the news will come before the Senate will say. Senator Atkinson. Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Senator Atkinson. Senator Atkinson, I do not have any answer to that question. It may, because it includes multidisciplinary teams, it may go before the judiciary committee. I don't know where it would go. Any further objection? Any further discussion? Could I have Ms. Nielsen call the roll?
Senator Atkinson? Senator Ringo, Senator Shields, Vice Chair Ferrioli, Chair Brown.
Chair votes aye. Friends, so for your information, what we have simply authorized the introduction of is a bill draft that we created a study for the purpose of preventing future domestic violence fatalities and authorized the authority to review the records. So this bill will be introduced at some point after it's drafted. Is there any other business to come for the committee? I am having a number of bill introductions that I would propose to the ladies of the hour and the distance of travel that we to the meeting on Tuesday. Any other business? We really appreciate all of you coming before us this evening and our sympathies and the support of the gentleman.
You should see this one. Come around this corner.
Hi, Alex.
This is what my body is at the end. Really?
Really?
Hell yeah.
Really.